Odd twist of fate, I am somehow not completely healthy again. I'm starting to notice a trend. I think the world wants me to die. It's just not strong enough to do me in.
Not yet.
Don't tempt me.
There he is.
You know, the world just needs to win once. That's the thing.
Nothing can beat me. Nothing can beat me. And we've got the usual two. The gruesome twosome. The dynamic duo.
From the south of Italy.
Yeah, the the Italian stallions?
Nah, I don't know. I'm going to be the judge of that. Yes. I'm not going to say that myself.
Why not? But anyway, let's move right into it. So, I am completely shocked, as I was completely shocked to find out that, well, Warner Brothers have very quickly announced a Quidditch game. Well, what a shock.
Now we know why it wasn't in Hogwarts.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if this was originally sort of in development as a mod for Hogwarts, and not a mod, you know, DLC for Hogwarts, and now they've realised, you know what, we can sell this full price. Or maybe not full price, but yeah.
To be fair, they've said it's been in development for several years at another studio, and so it's a completely different studio. And it also has a pretty different graphic style. You know, it's way more stylized, which I guess makes sense for a multiplayer, you know, sports-like game. You know, we'll see. They didn't really say that much, just that it's for PC and consoles, and you know, people will be able to create their own characters. There will be, you know, team roles, like a goalkeeper, and various kind of roles. It will be fast-paced, so you know, I think, you know, gameplay-wise, they might be going after that Rocket League crowd, you know?
I wonder if they realized that this was sort of done when it was called Broomstick League, and that didn't work out well.
Yeah, there was that attempt, but...
This has got the Harry Potter IP, which helps.
Yeah,
people have been asking for a Quidditch game for a very long time, I think. Playtesting just began this week, though, so there is no exactly telling how long it will be before it releases. But I'm interested.
I signed up privately for the playtesting, but I don't think I've been invited.
Yeah, I think it may be, you know, a little while, but. I'm interested, in, you know, especially I'm not very familiar with the rules set in the books, but I guess there is some use of magic during these matches, right? Of course, since they are all mages, after all. So that could possibly be an interesting spin on an otherwise sports-like game. We'll see. Uncertain Chris will want to try it.
It's multiplayer. Well, it's like multiplayer. He will have to play with other people. He's not going to do that.
I'll just pretend that they're AI.
Yeah.
Well, I can play some multiplayer games if I must. I've played Rocket League before. Essentially, if it's something I really like the look of, I will play it, and I will just begrudgingly accept that these other human beings are necessary, and then as soon as the game is done, I will just assume they've all died. It makes me happy then.
Well, you say you play Rocket League, and there are some very nice people in that game.
Yes, I know. That's why I now just assume they've all died to cheer me up.
As they're usually very nice people in that game.
I once played other multiplayer games, though. I once was the best ranked player in the world at Command & Conquer Renegade Online. Not in the world, in Europe.
Well, that was a strategy game, so...
No, yeah. That was the first shooter.
Ah, okay. I thought it was the shooter one.
So, yeah.
Well, I would expect people playing strategy games online to be a little smarter than people that play. At least nicer. I'm not going to say smarter. I'm going to say nicer than...
What else was... Yeah. Oh, and I once was, when Wrath of the Lich King came out, for a very short period of time, the best geared Fury Warrior in Europe as well.
Are you flexing?
I used to be a very nerdy bastard who played games too much, so yes.
Well, maybe I can flex myself too, because at one point...
This is a child-friendly show. Do not show us that.
I wasn't going to show that. I was among the like the first 100 or so players in Europe for Street Fighter V. Then the netcode fucked me up and I gave up. I stopped playing ranked mode because it was too stressful.
Yeah, but what you don't realize is that you might have been there in like the top 100, but the top 5 were all just people who just threw their controllers down the and it just randomly hit the right buttons.
I don't know.
That's how you do fighting games. You just go like this.
I let you know that I was also very, very high in the rankings of Top Spin. I don't know if you remember it, but the first Top Spin for Xbox. It was an amazing game for the time, and it also had, you know, a very advanced. Like leaderboards and tournaments, you know, there was this thing called XSN, which basically was a website that interacted with the game, and you could do tournaments in the game, and they were reflected on the website. You could organize them there. It was really, really cool. And I think in the single player ladder, I was, in the single ladder, it was like top 50 or something, but in the double ladder, I was playing with a friend and we were like top 10 at some point, and we also beat the number one once. So those were pretty good days.
This is to prove that it's not true.
And then we all got old and got shit at video games.
Video game journalists don't know how to play games. Not everybody.
I don't even know what a game is.
Well, now you don't know what a game is.
I don't.
You used to know what it was back then.
I don't have the time anymore. I cannot wait 2 more weeks and then I get some of my life back. Thank fuck. Broomstick League, Hogwarts Legacy. I'm looking forward to it.
Meanwhile, I think Francesco Hogwarts Legacy is selling a lot more than expected, right?
More than I expected. Well, the guy that wrote that actually removed that thing from LinkedIn, but the damage was done anyway. So it's
what's that?
He wrote like I don't remember the percentage though. Let me check it back because I don't remember. Yeah, there was this. I think it was somebody from marketing from Warner Bros. And said that Hogwarts Legacy sold a certain percentage more than what Warner Bros. Expected. Let me pick. 256% more than expected.
Yeah,
well, I don't know how that's damage done. That's good for them.
I don't know why they removed that. Maybe they wanted to announce it in a. They wanted to announce it back properly. Probably.
Well, they probably wanted to announce it in earnings calls more than anything.
Yeah, probably because the guy removed this little thing from LinkedIn after somebody.
Yeah, I said they
it.
Don't care about they don't care about regular people and what we think. They only care what investors think. So I'm not shocked that it sold that well. To be fair,
The thing is, we don't know how much they expected it to sell. We don't know their expectations for that.
No, but they should the fact that it sold 2.5 times more than they expected.
It's still a lot, it's still a lot. But we don't know how much they were expecting to.
Well, you can sort of guess, because how many has it sold? 12 million, 13 million copies?
Yeah, it was last month, I think. or earlier than that.
Well, so if it's 12 million, you can work it out. So if it's sold 2.5 times more, then for 8, 12, so 3, 6, 9. So you can probably, there's a rough guess they expected it to sell about 3.5 million copies.
Yeah, and it's still not out on previous gen and Switch.
But I'm guessing it sold more than the 12 million now when they did that figure. So I guess they expected it to sell about 4 million copies.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, there is the fact that, you know, Avalanche Software hadn't done a game like this before. You know, they used to make this the Infinity, but it was a very different game. So there was that unknown.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, except for the controversy that we all know about, you know, the feedback about the game pre-release. the feedback about the game pre-release was very positive in that, you know, you could tell it was going to be a good game.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I guess it's good for Warner Bros. Since they don't have Suicide Squad anymore for this fiscal year. Mm. So,
I think this may have helped them delay that game, their game more. I think because they were they had something to fall back on, and then it probably made it easier for them to just delay it to next year.
Yeah,
didn't have to worry about.
There we go. So so Broomstick League's coming back. There we go.
With another mate.
So the next, well, we've got a bit. Well, we've got three different things about Microsoft. Well, I say it's about Microsoft, and this is me just sort of giving away what I think's going to happen as a rough guess. But so Sony, the head of Media Molecule co-founder Mark Healy. He's left Media Molecule after Dreams has been shut down. Well, the announcement that it is getting shut down. And he may or may not be joining Rare. Well, he's either joining Rare or Ubisoft.
Yeah. Let's hope Rare.
Well, you know, it's sort of, unless he's really playing a good con, like with all the pirate references in his tweet. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's Rare, to be fair.
Well, actually, you know, except for the Sea of Thieves things, but if he joins Rare, maybe we could get finally another of their platform games. Proper
I wish.
Banjo and Kazooie. Who knows?
I'm not sure about that because nobody buys platform games except for Nintendo games. At least that hasn't been
as much as I'm not a fan of them, I think the Spyro trilogy thing, I think Spyro and Crash sold didn't they?
Yeah, but we're still waiting for a new one.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't say they sold 10 billion copies. That's the border for Activision.
They probably sell all right, but probably not enough for to push the. I mean, I didn't expect Crash Bandicoot 4, to be honest.
Yeah.
They still made that, but who knows? But I don't think Rare is ever going back to those. At least not the way they used to do them, because now it has become the Sea of Thieves studio. And it's a shame because they could do so much else other than that.
To be honest, I don't know. With the fact that they are under Microsoft, you could guess maybe.
Well, that's the sort of thing I'm thinking, that Microsoft's just offered him a good thing. Mm. That wouldn't.
I mean, Microsoft could want something kid-friendly for Game Pass as well. I don't know.
Well, they've got kid-friendly stuff. Surely. I mean, you know, they've now got Doom Eternal. What's more kid-friendly than that?
Well, it is on the Switch, so...
It is on the Switch. Yeah.
I mean, all they need now is, like, you know, Succubus. Perfect kid game.
Yeah.
Actually... I don't know if you read about it, but there is a game on Steam, and I think it was also among the most, you know, best-selling newly released games. And it's called Sex Standing, and basically it is a porn version of Death Stranding, where you are apparently a sex courier that moves between, you know, in a post-apocalyptic world between settlements, and you bring joy to these various isolated settlements.
Hideo Kojima is going to love that. He's going to make that an official game.
I was gonna say I wouldn't be surprised if Kojima is probably partly involved in Secret.
Yeah, well.
Well, I mean,
he's going to love that. Yeah, he's going to love that.
Fair enough. I mean, fair enough.
Yeah.
Is what am I reviewing that then, or?
I don't know. You know the policy.
I don't know, just mark it as not for kids.
Yeah.
And put big sensor bars over all the fun bits.
Not safe for work.
Not safe for life.
Not safe for life.
Yeah, so so Sony's lost a big guy. I'm not sure.
But Microsoft also lost Joe Staten, and it looks like he's joining Netflix now, which is interesting because, of course, he's always done AAA kind of games, which basically confirms that Netflix isn't just going to do, you know, small mobile stuff.
Yeah.
They also have plans to enter the AAA market. So it's interesting. What do you guys think?
I hope they don't touch anything that's already established. Because, oh, sorry, something.
Well, it does say it's an original IP.
I can't hear anything anymore. What the fuck?
Say it's an original IP, but that probably, well, does that mean that it's not going to be, when they say an original IP in what sense? Like, we've already had a Stranger Things game, but
yeah, well, that was their own property.
Yeah, that's what I mean by original IP.
Like I was saying, I hope they don't touch anything that's already existing, because we have seen what they do with things that already exist. And
well, you mean make fantastic shows with absolutely zero flaws?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all right. Netflix are going to make the next Witcher game.
I think a game based on, La Casa de Papel, do you know? Could be good if it's AAA, and it could be really good. I think in English it's called Money Heist, maybe. It's a pretty good show, and I think it could be a nice fit for a game. You plan your heist and execute it, and then maybe you also have all of the tension in the squad. You have to make decisions.
Isn't that called Payday?
No, Payday is just multiplayer.
But you know what I mean. I'm being slightly sarcastic, but I'm not far off.
Of course. Yeah. There have been nice games before.
I think the reality is we really could do with the AAA Stranger Things game.
Yeah. I think they will do that eventually. It's just too big, and then
yeah,
they want to do spin-offs already, because they have the last season coming up, and they don't want to stop there, so they probably try to.
You can't blame them, can you?
Yeah. Well, it makes sense, because there's a lot of potential there with that.
And you could make a multiplayer. You could make a AAA multiplayer version of a Squid Game.
Yeah, true.
Or even better, a single player game.
I don't see that as a single player. It's a
perfect single player game.
Okay. they could make a story mode kind of thing.
Exactly.
It could work, but. I think they're still going. They're still going to get multiplayer. It's, you know, like service games. People love self-service games, and then they abandon them 6 months later because you're not spending enough money to keep it up.
Yes, there you go. So, that's why it needs to be a single player game.
Yeah, it could be both.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But it's interesting to see such as another you know company, big company from the entertainment sector joining games, and we'll see what comes of it. It may be a few years, of course, because we know how long games take to make these days.
They could also, they could even make a version of The Crown if you got really. Yeah, there you go. They perfect The Crown.
I think only people in the UK would buy that.
I don't know. There's a lot of weird foreigners who seem to like things to do with the UK.
I don't know how many people outside the world love the British royal family as much as the people in the UK do.
People inside the UK like it. I don't. Anyway, I don't give a shit though.
That's what people want to imply when they're reporting on them over here. That the people from the UK are nuts for everything the king does. Is he already king? Is he already king? By the way, I don't remember.
No.
Yes and no. We know he is the king, but he's not been coronated yet.
Okay.
Yeah, he still needs to go to Westminster.
It's in a few weeks, actually. So anyway, and then the last story about Microsoft is, you know, back to the acquisition topic. To an extent.
Yeah.
Microsoft are just saying, like, it's not all about buying one thing, it's about having a deep portfolio, you know, which is quite literally the point of buying a big company with a load of games.
It's a bit weird because like you said, of course, if you make a big acquisition, then your portfolio is going to be much cheaper than afterward. So it's the two things are linked, obviously. But I think, like we've been saying, Microsoft is trying to make a large portfolio of first party games, so they don't need to license third party games as much as they've been doing so far. So that's obviously their goal. And well, we're just very close now because. Next week, I think the UK will render its verdict, and also, I think the EU as well. So, if they approve it, then I guess the FTC doesn't have much of a leg to stand upon anymore.
Well, it only needs to be approved by so many, and then it's done. America doesn't get final say on everything.
Yeah, but you know, especially because. At that point, if it goes to court, then the most likely they would lose. So we'll see, but it's coming soon. So I think next Sunday we'll be able to talk about the verdict because I think the UK will render it by April 26th. It's close.
So we won't
have to talk about this anymore once they go through, finally.
Oh, I'm sure we can find something to talk about for you.
Yeah, well, they will be moving on to the next acquisition.
Well, actually, Sony did announce an acquisition this week, and they acquired Fireworks Studios, which they had already partnered with and were publishing their first game. It's a live service multiplayer game. So yeah, now they've also acquired it. Of course, it's since it's a relatively small company, I doubt it will be subject to much scrutiny from regulators, but still, it shows Sony will continue to be active, and it's not over, you know, this whole consolidation process.
Somebody still has to buy Square Enix.
It will happen.
Somebody still has.
It will happen.
Or maybe they could buy. Maybe they could buy Capcom.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Square Enix is the better deal, though.
Capcom, yeah, but you know, with the share prices being at all time high, it's not
Square
a good
Enix
time.
Is the best deal if you're going to buy somebody, because you just, you know, they've got such a range of IPs. But there you go.
But it's probably also not a good idea to do it just after Final Fantasy 16 has launched.
No, that's why you need to do it before. Because once that launches, it'll sell well, and you know, share price goes up.
Yeah, it will sell well. It's like it has become the best pre-ordered thing on Amazon. I mean, in the United States. So after the last State of Play, so it's going to sell well. But it was going to sell well regardless. But probably
exactly. Oh well. Let's move on to the last topic then. We're making good time, actually. It's very good.
Yeah.
And this is Nintendo being Nintendo.
Don't fuck with Nintendo, basically. They're going to ruin your life.
Go on, Alessio. I'll let you take this.
So remember the Nintendo hacker? Well, the hacker that basically was selling the executor chipsets for the Nintendo Switch to mod it and whatever. Basically, he was already in jail. Now is coming out after a while, but he has basically been forced to pay, I think, $10 million back to Nintendo, which of course he won't be able to do in even working his whole life, but he signed an agreement saying that he will pay them 25% to 30% of his income for the rest of his life. So basically, he's now working as a slave of Nintendo.
Well, that's how Nintendo likes it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems a bit excessive to me.
It is.
Of course it is. It is. But there'll always be people who sort of, who love Nintendo and defend all that.
Nintendo,
shit.
You know, Nintendo has been always like this. I don't remember the exact name, but I remember there was a shop, I think in Hong Kong, they were selling Nintendo imports and they went after them. They shut them down. I don't remember the name of the shop, but it was a big one. And it's just that's the way they do it. I mean, they see everything as protecting their own IP, and then the ninjas show no mercy on this regard.
Yeah.
But if I was the lawyer of the hacker, I would have pointed out that actually, of course, by releasing mod chips, he also allowed people to avoid paying for the software, but he also contributed to selling more hardware, more likely, because you know, people who might not have wanted to get the Switch, you know, once they knew they could get it modded, because they were also actually sold it, they actually sold the Switch pre-modded, so it wasn't just so basically there is an argument to be made that he helped Nintendo sell more hardware. Actually, so it's not just that he damaged the Nintendo. It's not as simple as that, anyway, I think. But
I don't even think they sold so many chips and so many modded consoles to actually damage them for $10 million. It just
It's not. I think they didn't even make 1 million. I think it was.
It's punitive just to, yeah.
Yeah, it's just they want to set an example, yeah.
Yeah.
Though people are still going to do that, because otherwise everything that happened before with other similar things, they would have stopped, and they didn't. I mean,
that's all they're doing, making an example of him.
Yeah. I mean, PlayStation, for example, we all know that the original PlayStation, everyone and their mother modded it.
It was so easy.
And Sony was aware of it, and they went with it, and it contributed to the platform's popularity.
Yeah.
I don't know. As you said, Nintendo is just very much set in its old school tradition of we're gonna kill you if you don't play by rules.
Yeah. They always been like that.
Yeah. It's sad. But what can you do?
Don't fuck with them. Don't fuck with them. And if you do, run away. Because there was another person involved in the operation that actually managed to not get extradited to the United States, so he's still on the loose, and apparently was the leader of the operation. And he still hasn't been caught. He's safe.
It's bullshit.
Yeah, this guy who got picked up, I think he didn't believe Nintendo would go to such extents, perhaps. But I guess you always have to assume the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, especially given the, like we said, the history of Nintendo in these cases, you have to be prepared for. Maybe they thought they wouldn't get caught because probably they thought it was too small of a thing to actually get such a reaction, but Nintendo doesn't fuck around in this.
Yeah. I mean, there were mods, I think, mod chips for previous Nintendo consoles. I think for the Wii, maybe.
The Wii didn't even need the mod chip. You could do it with software. There was an exploit that you could do. I don't remember how it worked, but it was easy. You just needed to load some stuff on the SD card and launch it.
Yeah.
It was even easier than that.
And, actually, Nintendo, if it was up to them, I'm pretty sure Nintendo would also lock emulation, but unfortunately they can't do that because it's legal. So
I just remembered why they shut off that shop we're talking about. It was because of those things that you could load the pirated DS software, those cards that you could put the micro SD card in it. I don't remember the names of these things. Words are escaping me. More, but it was because of that, and that didn't stop anything because people made those things for the 3DS too. They were smarter selling it, not with by official shops, were just selling them. So it has always been easy to pirate stuff for Nintendo consoles. I mean, when they were cartridge based, maybe not, but I think the GameCube had something like this too. Now I'm not sure, but I think there was something like this. And the Wii was, like we said, it was very easy to do. They tried to patch it up, but then people were...
And also for with the Switch, they made it extremely easy for emulators because it's, since it's a Tegra chip, it was very easy to get it running on PC. So.
Yeah. Easy to emulate, yeah.
Well, anyway. What have you guys been playing?
I'm waiting for Chris.
Very little. I've just been crammed. Work, day job. Grandfather managing to escape the care home. That was a fun day. It didn't go far, but yeah. I've just been that busy. I played more Minecraft Legends, and I was hoping to have got the review out, but yes, then the day that I was going to write it up, the day I had off work, I'd actually booked the day off work, and then, I needed to go running around for things. What a shock. Life is not simple.
Yeah.
No.
Life isn't fair.
Yeah.
So I've genuinely been playing nothing again. And I really wish I had been playing something, and give it another week or two and I'm actually going to have some freedom and I'm going to be able to play games again. So yeah, looking forward to that. How about you?
Well, I haven't played anything new, exactly new, because I'm in a Resident Evil mood now, and I went back
you
to
can
the
still talk about the old games.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. And I went back to the first one. Actually, the HD remaster, but the PC version is in a horrible state. It doesn't even support 4K resolution.
Yeah,
that's just. And then it, of course, at 1080p on a 4K screen, it just looks horrible. So I had to mod it a bit. But yeah, I have to say that it has aged like shit. It really plays bad now. Because especially the inventory stuff is just so annoying. That you have just 8 slots, I think. I mean, with Jill, you have 8 slots. And it's just so annoying. The game, I mean, the atmosphere is still the best. I think it's still the best among every Resident Evil game, but playing it now after all the remakes, and it's fun in its own clunky way, but Capcom really should remake this properly, like a modern Resident Evil Engine remake, because it really needs it.
Yeah,
it's just it has aged horribly, really.
They'll do it.
Yeah, they'll do it. They'll remake everything.
There'll be a Resident Evil 2 remake soon.
They will remake the remakes, yeah. Well, they would need to remake Resident Evil 3 remake, since they cut so much from it. But they'll probably have to remake that one, too.
I was just wondering if they're going to remake Resident Evil 0 as well.
Yeah, I think they would need to do that, too. I'm not sure how popular it is, because I haven't played it in a long, long time, but it wasn't exactly the best game they had. I mean, it was the start of the co-op thing that they developed for 5 and 6. Yeah. But I think it's an easy one if they remake the first Resident Evil. I think that would be an easy one to do, because it's very similar in scope. It's not like the other it's not like the games that came after that. But I'm not sure how popular it is, to be honest. I don't think it's that popular.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
you know, when people talk about remakes now, people want the Code Veronica remake, because that's the last game with the fixed camera that they made, and not many people played that, because it I think it originally released on the Sega Dreamcast,
if I remember right, it did.
Not many people played that, even though they ported it to other consoles. They never It felt old compared to Resident Evil 4, because it was the old style.
Anyway, what were you saying before?
Oh, yeah, I was saying that another not exactly new thing that I tried is the Street Fighter 6 demo. That actually finally has the first taste of World Tour mode. And I think that's going to do great for the game, because it's basically Street Fighter meets Yakuza. Like a Dragon, like they call it now. It's really silly, really stupid, and it's great.
That could almost be good.
Yeah. Well, it's very, very small. Like, it's not even half an hour that you can try it, but I think it has a lot of potential. It's really... It feels like it's a completely different game from the usual competitive multiplayer stuff. They're really putting a lot of care into that.
Actually, I think they've also said the World Tour will also have RPG elements, you can use consumables, items to boost yourself or to debuff enemies, I've read. and also you can basically become a student of any one of the roster's characters.
You can mix their moves together, and you can actually use these characters to play online with others, like in the battle hub.
There are the customer, and also there will be apparently cutscenes that you know, show up when you develop your relationship with your master, so to speak. Yeah. So it's a bit RPG-like, I guess.
Yeah, it's, it really feels like Yakuza from the little that that we can try in the demo. It really feels like a Dragon Yakuza, and I think that was a smart idea, because you can't do a serious story mode with Street Fighter. It's just that Street Fighter is silly to begin with, and that was the first thing you could do. Like, you have everybody in Metro City that can fight, that can beat the crap out of you, and that's just, you know, it feels like it's taking that final fight that Capcom seems to have forgotten about, and they pick that and then finally put it in Street Fighter in an interesting way, because that thing is going to teach people to play the game, because I think it's much better than the tutorials they have, because those tutorials, there are the basic tutorials, but I think they're more geared towards people that at least have a rough idea of what Street Fighter is. Instead, World Tour mode just picks you from the very start and teaches you the basics in a fun way. That, you know, there's content to it. That's why I think it's going to be... It's going to do great for the game, really. And it's the exact opposite of Street Fighter V. When they really didn't put as much care into it. They just wanted to have it out for the competitive crowd. Instead, this time around, it feels like they're focusing more on the single-player stuff, and it's good because you get more people in. And it helps the competitive stuff as well, so you don't get a game that dies out in 6 months. And that's a great thing.
And also, this time, they aren't skipping Xbox. So there is that.
And they're not skipping, Well, there's cross-play, too, between everything, so... I think they're doing everything. They're doing everything right. Well, we still haven't tried all the characters, because the only ones we tried are the 8 from the beta. But if that is an indication, it's going to be really, 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 really good.
Yeah, they also announced, I think, the 4 characters.
Yeah, we kind of knew about them because they were leaked. When they leaked the entire roster, they were in and. We kind of knew that. It's interesting that they're taking so much time to get 4 characters out. But I think it's because they want to integrate them into World Tour. So that's probably way more work to do than usual. So
Yeah, they've said they will be selectable as masters.
I think this is why they're taking so much time. But I think it's a good one, because when they get too many characters to release in a short amount of time, most of these characters, they don't get explored enough. I mean, there was a point in Street Fighter V that they released 2 characters at the same time. It was like with G and Sagat, and then just... It's complicated, you know, you just get too much, and learning a character is not an easy thing. At least if you learn them at a certain level.
Yeah, I think, you know, quality is more important.
That too. Yeah, this... really, Street Fighter is getting saved by the new director and new producer, because... They brought Street Fighter V back up from the disaster that it was at launch, and then they're continuing to do that. So Capcom made the right move when they just picked people from the Monster Hunter team and then moved them to their fighting game division, because I feel they're doing everything right.
Yeah. As far as me. Well, I've been playing more of Solasta with my friends, and other than that, also the new Horizon Forbidden West DLC, Burning Shores. And there's not that much to say. It's more Forbidden West, which was more for Horizon Zero Dawn, but you know, more of a good thing is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's pretty good, and you get some more tools. For example, you can now deploy a drop shield made of energy in front of you, so you can basically use it as a cover when you have machines firing at you. And there are some new skills as well. You can also now attach elemental canisters to your spear to deal extra damage, elemental damage. So... there are more tools for every playstyle, I guess. And also, it was a bit nostalgic to see, you know, Lance Reddick again. Well, just like in John Wick 4, and you know, I guess this will be his last appearance as Silence. So I don't know how they're going to do it. To deal with it in the sequel, because of course he was a central character and now he won't be available anymore. But you know, it was nice to see him once again, at least once more time. Like I said to Chris, you know, with the first Horizon, they released the one DLC, and then they ported the complete edition to PC. So, you know, a good guess is probably they're going to do the same.
Oh, yeah.
For Forbidden West.
I'm waiting for that, because I haven't picked it up yet for that. So I'll be waiting for that.
I think probably not going to be long before it comes to PC.
Yeah.
We'll see. And definitely recommended. I mean, like we all know, they kind of put it in a weird spot because it launched a few days. I don't know if it was before or after Elden Ring, but
before, a few days before. Yeah.
And of course, it was kind of overshadowed by Elden Ring, but of course, it's quite a different game, of course, more accessible, but more traditional open world game, but still very. Very well done, very well polished, and also, well, the graphics are really, really good. I mean, they won multiple, I think, tech awards, even from GDC, I believe. And it's absolutely warranted because it's a big open world, and now, you know, in the sequel, there's also flying mounts, and they made all these volumetric clouds that are really cool. You can now even travel through them in some missions in the DLC. So the graphics are really, really great, and it runs smoothly even on PS5. So hopefully, well, on PC it should be even better, hopefully, if it is ported right. Fingers crossed. Yeah.
If it doesn't stutter like every other PC game.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you need to upgrade, Francesco.
I think I'm going to get a new PC altogether, because, like, we talked about that 12 gigs of VRAM are not going to be enough, and I'm going to, of the 4070 Ti, I'm just going to end up 2 years from now in the same situation. So I'd rather go with a new PC and a 4080. At least that one has 16 gigs of RAM.
But I don't know.
I'm waiting for prices to fall down.
And and I don't know if you saw it, but there was the news post this week about the PC specs of Immortals of Avium.
Yeah, well, that was wild.
Those are really, really high. Like, you know, to play a 1440p at medium to high settings, they've said, so not even high. And you need a 3080 Ti to do that.
Yeah, well, this is getting great. That's why I said I could get a 4070 Ti, but those 12 gigs of RAM are not going to last very long. It's just not enough. So maybe 16 should carry me at least, I'd say, 4 years, maybe, if things don't skyrocket in the meantime. But it just makes more sense, you know. I don't want to be upgrading every 2 years. Every 2 years, I don't have the money to do that. I'd rather do a big upgrade and then try to stick with it. Because I was kind of stuck with my 3070 because it was the time when you couldn't find any GPU around. So I had to buy a pre-build to get that, to even get that. So now the thing is a bit different. But if NVIDIA doesn't take those prices down a bit, I'm going to stay like this. I'd rather drop down the resolution than drop down that much money like that.
Well, but you know, at least there's going to be a significant advancement, you know, in graphics, especially if you see the path tracing.
That, Yeah, that first, looks that look. Yeah, well, that looks like the real thing now. I mean, regular ray tracing can be a bit disappointing, but that thing they did with Cyberpunk, that is very, very, very good. It's very demanding, but it's very good.
And Chris, you're going to get it eventually. Path tracing is the future.
I'm fine. I don't need your tray racing.
Ray trace multiplayer games.
Ray tracing.
I already feel ill. Stop swearing at me.
Anyway, I guess that's about it from me.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
Yep.
So we will see you all next week. When there will be more acquisition news.
Yay! Can't wait!
Oh god. Right. See y'all in a bit. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.